Well, we are in our course number four. This is the first lesson of 10 lessons we have, and we'll be wrapping up our 1 year of study on prayer. Our theme has been, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. God invites his creation to come and bring your needs to him, whatever they may be. You have your table of contents there if you have the full 10 weeks of lessons, and tonight we're going to be talking about praying God's presence. This one is entitled The Power Series. This is a really great series. It gets, each lesson builds on each other, and it gets, to me, better and better and better as we go through these next few weeks. To pray effectively, we need to realize that the Word of God, which the Bible tells us is infallible, without any error, we need to realize that the Word of God is our primary weapon. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that the Word of God is like a sword. He calls it the sword of the Spirit. So it's a very powerful and effective weapon because the Word of God always reveals the will of God. And we know that God only answers prayer that's offered in His will. So if you want to know if your prayer is according to the will of God, because a lot of times we can take a verse of Scripture where Jesus says, ask anything that you will and it shall be given to you. Now the lotto's coming up. I'm going to go buy a ticket, God, and I want you to make me a winner, right? No, that would not be God's will, because that's getting into the area of covetousness. But you can find out what God's will is by reading His Word. And that way you can be guaranteed of having your prayers answered. And so we understand that the need for being in the Word will reveal the will of God. So the Word of God reveals the will of God. And we're going to talk about the power of praying God's promises, taking God's Word and making a verse or two or three a part of your prayer back to God. Because you know if you're bringing God's Word to God Himself, you know it's going to meet His standard, all right? So we're going to talk about power of praying God's promises. I guess I would call this word-enriched prayer. I should have done this earlier. Sorry about this. I'm trying to do something new. 2 Thessalonians, if you're taking notes, this is not in your notes. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So in, I'm reading the wrong one. I'm supposed to be in 1 Thessalonians. I kept thinking that doesn't sound quite right. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which is effectually working in you, also in you that believe. The word effectual that he uses there is an interesting, remember the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word that is makes up that word effectual is the word energeo, E-R-N-G-E-O. We get the word, our English word, energy. A lot of our English words comes from Greek. And he's speaking about here that they have been energized by God. When a person receives Christ as their Savior, remember the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within them. The Spirit of God is in them, and the Word of God now is open to them. They understand. They begin to have a clearer understanding because the Holy Spirit will give you illumination and understanding. And when you have the Word of God in you, you are now being energized with the Word. So you can bring energy, God-given energy, through the Spirit, because we're supposed to be praying, the Bible says, in the Spirit. And if we're adding to the Word to that, we know that it's the Word of God that's quick and powerful that does the work. So you can have energized prayer. And so if God's Word brings energy to your life, then it means it will do the same in your prayers. They can become more powerful when you use Scripture in them. Instead of using sometimes, and it's not nothing wrong with using our own terms and our own asking, but bringing the will of God from the Word of God in with what you're asking him so that you can say, God, you said this right here. And so I'm asking because of this. And bring God's word to him. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy in your outline there, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, all scripture, how much scripture? All scripture, all the Bible, he says, is given by inspiration of God. That means that God breathed it. And it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or fully equipped unto all good works. So God has given us his word clearly. He inspired it. We think of, as we talk about how the Bible tells us that holy men of God spake or wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So if I pulled out a pen right now and I wrote on my paper here, how are you tonight? What just wrote that? I did. But the pen was only a vessel, correct? The pen, you could say, well, the pen wrote it, but the pen can only do what I would permit it to do. It wrote what I want. That's exactly true. There were holy men, Peter, Moses, all these men that God used, the Apostle Paul, they were holy men, men who knew God as their Savior, walked with him as their Lord, were obedient to his commandments. And God used those men as a pen, like I picked up the pen and used it to write out what I wanted to say just in four words tonight. And that's exactly what God did with men. And so he's telling us that all this scripture is reliable. When we read 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he made it very, very clear that they did not receive the word as from men. It wasn't like the scripture I just read to you. You can receive it and say, well, that's just what a man wrote. No. These people believed it was what God wrote through men, as God explains. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says, for the word of God is quick. The word quick means living. It's alive. And it's powerful. Now think, you're bringing the word of God into your prayer. You're bringing something that's powerful, that's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God pierces a man. You can be preaching the word of God, and God can bring a man under conviction, not because of what I'm saying, but what I'm reading and sharing from God's word. And by the way, man is a tripartite being. We are spirit, soul, and body. This scripture here in Hebrews speaks of that. It talks about how his word can pierce to the dividing asunder of our soul. Your soul is who you are. It is your mind, your will, and your emotions. When you get saved, you receive the Spirit of God. So now you have the soul and spirit who comes in and makes witness with our spirit, which is dead, and quickens it. And then he says it cuts through the joints and marrow. That's the body. It can go through all of those areas. It pierces through every part of us, our whole being, and does a work inside that nobody can see except God. But you see the fruit demonstrated from the changed life. He's reminding us here of the power of the word of God, that is from God. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 8. He says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for 100 years. Huh? Forever. Forever. How long is forever? It never stops. It never ceases. And so it will stand forever. That should strengthen our prayer and our faith, that if I'm using God's word to incorporate into my prayer, to validate that what I'm praying is based upon the word of God, which is the will of God, that will increase our faith that I'm doing what God says. And by the way, God's word didn't have an expiration date on it. Now, some things we have get expiration dates on it. And some of them you can tell, some of them you can't until you taste them, you know. And so here we see that God doesn't have an expiration date. That ended last year, 2025, you know. I take some meds right now for my knee, and one of the things it says on there is do not use after something, something, something 2017. And it's no longer valid. I probably could still take it, but they tell you not to. But God doesn't have an expiration date on his word. And so we can bring it any time at all times. Look at Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, what's it do? Converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, just so that you understand as you're looking at this, consider what we just read in Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. And God has given us clear teaching of the sufficiency of God's Word. God's Word is sufficient for anybody and every need you may have arise. And by the way, there's a lot of needs that arise in life, is there not? I mean, look back on the last couple of weeks you may have had, and you can see how it's needy, 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 and never ceases. He talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, showing us that Scripture is complete without fault. And it brings a person to repentance and restoring. He says, converting the soul. He talks about the testimony of the Lord is sure. God's witness is reliable. God's witness is trustworthy, giving practical wisdom for those who are uneducated or unlearned in the Word. He goes on to talk about the statutes of the Lord. What do? They rejoice. They bring joy to the heart. What are the statutes? Those are God's instructions of righteous living. And when you take God's instructions on righteous living and engraft them into your life and begin to live according to what the Scriptures say, you'll begin to have joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, is the second thing on the list. And then we have the commandment of the Lord. It brings enlightenment. It is pure, enlightening the eyes. It commands our holy, and as we take them in and rejoice in them, it brings spiritual understanding and purity in our own lives. So let's take a look at a couple of things here as we get into this lesson tonight, on this first lesson of the final 10 lessons on the Bachelor of Prayer. There are praying promises. There's 14 benefits of praying God's Word, okay? I did not put this in your notes, but if you write it off to the side, the 14 benefits of praying God's Word are all found in Psalm 119. And you'll see that as we go through this. Psalm 119. Are you guys ready for your fill in the blanks now? Benefit number one of praying God's promises. Promise praying releases guidance. It releases guidance. How many of you need guidance daily to know the right direction? In Psalm 119, verse 105, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." He's speaking of guidance. Guidance is available for you and I. And we should be praying, "God, order my steps this day." I don't know what the day has out there for me. Order my steps in your, and help it to be according to the light of your word. In other words, you're praying. You can bring that prayer in. "Lord, I need guidance for today. At work, I need guidance for today in the decisions I need to make." Whatever it is, and you can say, "And by the way, Lord, you said that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I'm basing this request upon what you've already said that you would give me, and you would challenge me to even ask you for." So that's benefit number one, is guidance. Benefit number two is promise praying releases, here's your next one, purity. Purity. In Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11, he asks the question, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And he says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid or memorized in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And by the way, you can add to Scripture without taking away from Scripture. And I'll share you with what I mean, because we're not supposed to add to God's Word, but you'll see what I'm saying. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" I'll tell you, there's some old men that need the way cleansed, amen? I need God's way, God to cleanse my way too. And so now if God is looking all of us at his children, then I guess we can all say we're young men and women. But he says, by taking, look what it says, there's a circle word that you should circle, by taking heed. Not just reading it, not just hearing it, but heeding it, doing what it says. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Then he says, "Thy word have I hid." So let me ask you a question. If God says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," Would you think that God's will is for you to memorize Scripture regularly? Would everybody agree with that? In word or in action? Because remember, the beginning of the first verse, 9, says, by taking heed, right? Not just agreeing that it's the right thing to do, but that you are putting to practice the right thing to do, which you know, according to Scripture, it's the right thing. So if I do not hide God's word in my heart, I will be more prone to sinning against God. And you begin by sinning against God by not memorizing the Scripture and hiding it in your heart. Understand, these are some interesting things. We always think of sin, and we've talked about this before. We always think of sin of going out and doing the bad things, committing adultery, you know, lying, stealing, you name it. The list could go on. And we think that that's all sin, and we would all be right. But sin is also, the Bible makes it very clear, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if God says you need to be memorizing, and we know we need to be memorizing, we could be out of fellowship with that sin right there by itself. Because now we know that you're not heeding it either. You're not living it. So not memorizing, remember we saw where Samuel made mention in previous lessons, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So a Christian not praying and not memorizing could be deep in sin in what we consider good things that they should be doing. Not even the bad stuff counted. But I'll guarantee you, if there's a lack of the good, the areas we should be heeding, there will be an abundance of the things that we should not be doing. Are y'all with me on that? Now, one more question. Y'all think we should be memorizing? But let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask that question again. I'm going to ask you another question, and I want you to respond to. Do you think that we should be heeding what we're hearing? Some of you just aren't involved in this at all. I hope that's not a mark. And he's even mean when he has a cane, isn't he? I'm just trying to encourage you, amen? If I wasn't doing that, I would not be a very good pastor. So, you don't let your kids play on the street, do you? Some of you do, okay. Depends on what kind of a street you're on, all right? You don't let your kids play on 30, do you? All right. All right, now you understand. All right. Let's look at another one. Benefit number 3. Now, first we got guidance. Now we got purity. The promise praying releases joy. J-O-Y. Joy. Now, I could go back to the verses we just camped on, because if you're heeding the word, joy of the Lord is going to come into your life. But look what it says here in Psalm 119, verse 91 and 92. They continue this day according to thine ordinances for all thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. You ever go through times of affliction? Testings and trials and things that you don't want in your life? Yeah, I've gone through some quite recently. But he says, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I've gone through some times where I was literally ready to just call it quits. I mean, just, I'm done. And I was like Jeremiah. I was taking Bible verses that I had taken pictures of on my thing and great quotes. I just started deleting them off my phone. I don't even want them anymore. And then you got verses like this one. Like Jeremiah said, Jeremiah quit. And then he says, when I quit, he goes, God's word was burning in me like a fire, and I could not stop. So after I got right with God, the Lord says, now you can go to your trash can and undelete those things and recover it. Now you had your fit, you know. But it brings joy. He says, the law has to be our delight, and you're only going to delight in the things that you heed. Look what he says in Psalm 119, verse 142 and verse 143. He says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, Yet thy commandments are my delight. Twice he calls the commandments of God his delight, and twice he's not calling them his delight because everything is going hunky-dory. It's easy to say good things and rejoice in good things when things are going good. But he says, I'm in affliction, that I'm about to perish. Up here he says, I'm in trouble and anguish, and it's taken hold on me. Just because you're a Christian, and you're walking with God, doesn't mean you don't have trials and afflictions and anguish. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance they may increase. Because the devil wants to separate that fellowship and get you out of the will of God. I shared this before. I was talking with a guy who was not in very good fellowship with God. We were at another church. He came over and started getting under some teaching and preaching and got really on fire for the Lord. I mean, he started serving in the sound booth. The guy was great at computers and stuff. The guy was just busy, 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 him and his family. And for a couple of years, just solid. And then one day he just met with me and he said, you know what? It seems like every time I want to do more for the Lord, the closer I want to get, whether it's reading a bit more, scripture memory, all those things, the more I start doing those things, the greater afflictions come. I said, yeah. I said, because the devil, God will allow the devil to test how genuine and sincere you are. Are you going to continue on through these things? And so he'll test that. And he ended up telling me, he said, well, brother, he goes, I realized that when I quit doing those things, it stopped. And he goes, I talked with my wife about this. He goes, and we decided that we're going to quit coming to church and we're going to quit serving the Lord. He said that to me. And they walked away and never came back. Lived their life in their vegetable garden and riding motorcycles. Their kids got away from God too. There's a cost to that. So we see clearly that there is joy, and it's not necessarily in good things, it's in just in knowing that you have the truth of God's word to get you through these things. Benefit number four, promise praying releases encouragement. Encouragement. You ever need to be encouraged? When we talk about encouragement, we're not talking about physical, we're talking about emotional strength. In Psalm 119, verse 28 and 29, look what he says, my soul melted for heaviness. That phrase melted literally means it became weary to the point he was melting internally. Strengthen, he's asking God, strengthen thou me according to, look what it says, thy word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me or teach me and instruct me thy law graciously. God is a gracious God. He's not going to be hard on us. But Lord, if there's something that I'm missing, show me, teach me, instruct me. But I want you to see that he's asking. This is Psalm 119:28 is a verse, two verses of scripture, but it's a prayer that's being recorded. And if David could pray that prayer, you can take that prayer that is inspired by God to be written, use that prayer in your prayer. And say, God, this is what I need. Hear this prayer as you heard David's. Benefit number five, promise praying releases obedience. Obedience. If you want to be more obedient to the word, you must spend more time in the word. Psalm 119, verse 59 and 60. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He says, I thought on my ways. He took time to consider his life, how he was living, choices he was making, decisions he had made. He goes, I took time to consider my way. And he says that evidently he saw things that weren't where they should be. He says, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He did what we would call the word turned here. We get the word repented. He did a 180. He went from going that direction to this direction, which would be from away from the word of God to getting into the word of God. He says, and I did it hastily. I didn't delay to not only get back into your word, but to start keeping your word again in my life. There's a hymn that we sing, and one of the verses in it is a hard verse, but a very truthful verse. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And yet he is so merciful and gracious and kind, ready to forgive, the Bible says, and his mercies are new every morning. Benefit number six. We're talking about the benefits of using God's word in your prayer time. Promise praying releases understanding. Have you ever read something and all of a sudden it kind of just stands out? You know, I've read this a bunch of times before, and it just this time it spoke to me. God gives it what you need at the time that you need it. In Psalm 119, verse 65 and 66, he says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me, watch what he says, good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. When he's talking about here that God has taught him, we need to be teachable. And our instruction comes from God, who inspired, spoke the word. And when he spoke it, it's coming directly to you from God himself when you read the Bible. And he tells us here clearly that he wants to be taught good judgment and knowledge. Knowledge here is not just educational head knowledge. I want to experience these truths in my life. So it's not just up here, but it's being lived out. Now, it's interesting. He's wanting God to teach him good judgment, the mental ability. Remember, encouragement was for the soul. This good judgment is mental ability to be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong according to God. In Proverbs 4, this is not in your notes, but in Proverbs 4:10, he says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. So he's asking for mental ability to distinguish or discern something, what's right or what's wrong as far as God's perspective. Benefit number seven, promise praying releases direction. Direction. Notice what he says here in Psalm 119:33, order my steps in thy word. The word order there means to direct. Direct my steps. In other words, like this. I've got this door opens up of opportunity. And as I start walking towards it, I'm praying for God's will in a situation. And this door of opportunity opens up. So I start walking to it, and all of a sudden, as I get closer, another door of opportunity opens up. Now, God's will can't be both doors. So I have to pray, Lord, I need discernment. I need you to order my steps now. I want to make the right decision. When we were leaving New Hampshire, we had two doors of opportunity, a great big wide open door to go to Baltimore. And to go to Baltimore and take over with a Brother Johnson there, a church of 900, radio ministry and all that stuff. He goes, I want to be with you, bring you on, you'll be there with me for 5 years, take you through all the ropes, and then it's going to be yours. Or to come to Texas to a church of 23 people. And the flesh is going, well, this is an easy decision. And the Spirit's going, no, it's not. Unless you are willing to walk in the Word. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And I called Brother Johnson back, talked with him. And by asking him a couple of things, God confirmed that that door that was open and great opportunity was the will of God for somebody else and not me. Because I can take a church and be out of God's will. Which, when it puts me out of God's will, it puts the church out of God's will because it's not the guy that's supposed to be there. And it puts who was supposed to be there out of God's will. Do you see how the dominoes can fall? And so, very important that we ask God in your decision making, God, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity, that iniquity there, I'm going to come back to, have dominion over me. Order my steps with your word. Give me direction. Don't let my self-will have rule. Iniquity is self-will, which leads to sin. Not His will, but our will being done. And so iniquity is self-will. And that can get you in a whole lot of trouble. Most of us can say amen to that because we've experienced our own self-will and what it paid out. Benefit number 8. Promise praying releases comfort. Comfort. You have understanding, you got direction, and when you're following God's direction and not your own self-will, it's going to bring comfort. Look what he says in Psalm 119:76. Let, circle that word, you're asking God something. Let, I pray thee, thy mercy, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. I want you to notice how many of these scriptures are prayers that involve the importance of the word in prayer. It's not just prayer benefits that we're making up. These are prayers that are being prayed, and they're always going back to the word. I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. He's speaking of God's unfailing love. He that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty. Wow, to be under his shadow. You're so close in abiding with him that he overshadows you. You're in that reach. Benefit number 9. Promise praying releases wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, James says, let him ask. It's a prayer request of God. How do we know it's a prayer request? Because God's word told us that, right? In James. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Remember up in Psalm 119 under the understanding, he prayed, teach me good judgment and knowledge. And in that knowledge that he received, that experiential knowledge, he's now talking about wisdom. It's using that knowledge that you have experienced rightly. Wisdom is to know where you are going, how you're going to get there, and that is according to God's leading, according to his word. Somebody has said that wisdom is seeing things through God's perspective, not our own. Not circumstances, but how God sees it. God had to remind me today that his ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Psalm 119 says in verse number 97 and 98, oh, how I love thy law. Look what he says here. It is my meditation all the day. Stop. Meditation can only follow memorization. You cannot think on the scriptures if you don't have the scriptures memorized, because you don't carry your Bible around all the time with you. Of course, we do on our phones now. But to meditate is to think on and to go over and go over and go over. And he says, how I love thy law. It's my meditation. He says, I do it all day long. I do it throughout the day. Though thou, he says, thou through thy commandments had made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. One of the people in scripture says to God before they went to war, he says, if your presence does not go up with us, we're not leaving. God, if you're not going to go before us, we're not leaving. Benefit number 10. Wisdom was number 9. Number 10 is promise praying releases discernment. Now we're getting into that area there that we talked about briefly. It's to take a look at something and process it and seeking God's direction on, is this your will for me? I don't ever want to get out of God's will, especially in a major decision. I'm not saying I've never been out of the will of God. I have that before. But in the big decisions, I want to know that it's him that's leading in it. He says in Psalm 119, verse 125 on page 4, he says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Again, these are all prayers and all coming back to the Word of God. Have you ever told God, have you ever said to God those first four words in that verse, I am thy servant? Because in that declaration, you're also declaring Him as your master then. And as the master, and you're the servant's there to do what the master bids, not the master there to do what the servant bids. Correct? Benefit number 11. Promise praying releases nourishment. Nourishment. Just like you need physical nourishment, you need spiritual nourishment. Look what he says in Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Man, there's been times when you're in the Word of God, if you're reading or if you're studying, it's like, whoa, check this out. You get excited about it. And it's just exciting. You love it. And it's wonderful. David says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth or to my mouth. Y'all, anybody here like honey? And there's just something about honey with its smoothness and flavor. I can only take a little bit at a time. It has an effect on my throat. It begins to burn my throat. But man, the flavor, it's probably good that it burned my throat because I'd probably pour it on top of my frosted flakes. My wife's trying to think, how am I supposed to get that away from him? Benefit number 12. You know, here's a trick if you're diabetic, okay? I'm just going to tell you a trick if you're diabetic, all right? My mom's trick was you just don't check your numbers and you never know at the time. That's her philosophy. We'd have a big Thanksgiving Day feast and we had all these pies out there, and my Annalise would go up to my mom and say, Grandma, what do you want? Well, what do you have? Well, we got pumpkin, we got cherry, we got apple, we got pecan. She goes, I'll take a sliver, a small sliver of each. And to Grandma, you're diabetic. She goes, I just won't check my numbers. So that's one way. Now, I don't think that's very biblical. The more biblical way would what I would suggest. You take something like this that's been given to you as a very precious gift. And I didn't go out and purchase this. This was given to me by Bud, okay? That way you know if I overdose, you know who did it. You take something like this, and you don't want to offend the giver, so you have to do it. Because, well, they're great, all right? And so that I don't have problems with my sugar diabetic numbers over the long haul, you just have it on one day because you eat it all. Just eat it all in one day, and then you only have that one day that spikes and you can go back. Okay? Huh? Good thing I didn't hear you. It was probably good stuff that I needed to hear. By the way, you all know I'm just joking, right? All right. Where were those things the other day? I was up at 3 in the morning. All right, where are we at now? Nourishment, that's what it was. Tony the Tiger. But here we are talking about how sweet are the words unto my taste. God's words should be sweet to us. Benefit number 12, we're needing to move along here. Promise praying releases protection and hope. Protection and hope. And one prayer, two things. Look what he says here in Psalm 119, 114. Thou art my hiding place. There's your protection and my shield. There's your protection. I hope in thy word. God's word brings hope. Man, you can look around and see how bad our world is. And that's right now. It's bad even when there's men that are in our nation that are trying to do the right thing. The Bible says righteousness will exalt a nation. But there's a lot of sin in our nation still and in our world. And yet we have hope in the Word that God says that I'm coming again. That's hope, amen? That blessed hope of the return of Christ. There's hope that there's going to be a new heaven and new earth that's going to be created in righteousness, where there's no more curse, no more sin, no more death, no more sickness, and we'll dwell in that place. He's going to take us back to that time, the original intent before sin entered, because the tempter will be gone. He'll be cast into the lake of fire. So his word brings us hope. His word shows us that he's our hiding place. He's our shield. And by the way, these are good, but I have to be in the spirit for them to be doable. Because if I'm in the flesh, I'm not interested in hiding or using God as my shield. Matter of fact, it won't even come to my mind. I'm going to get mad and angry at my enemies, you know, and go charge after them. If I could legally do it, I would have already done it. You know, that's our makeup. That's the natural man. Just speaking the truth. I mean, in the commandments, it says, thou shalt not kill. Why did he say that? Because we have the nature that we could do that. As a matter of fact, Jesus takes it to the next level. He says, if you hate a brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder. So it's just the intent of the heart. If you knew you could get away with it, we use the phrase, boy, if looks could kill, right? There'd be a lot of dead people. A lot of us might not be around. So it brings protection and hope. Now, look at benefit number 13. We got two left here. Promise frame releases illumination. Illumination. It lights things up. It gives you an understanding. Look what he says here in Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words of the Bible giveth light. What does it do? It gives understanding unto the simple. Light is needed, amen, to see. Anybody ever walk in the dark and have something happen? Stub a toe? Anybody ever stub a toe? Man, those babies are bad. I remember I was a teenager, and me and my brother had a shared bedroom. I got up one night, the summertime windows were all open, dark, and we had the old beds that had the big old cast iron wheels on them things, you know? And I'm walking to go to the restroom, and our door was not closed all the way. It was closed, but it just wasn't latched, because sometimes you could close it and it kind of open up itself, you know? And I remember walking to the bathroom one early, and it was dark in the bedroom, and I caught my little toe big time on that steel wheel. It made me lose my balance, fall forward, hit my head on the door. It caused the door to slam into the thing, and then it came back and slammed again on my head. That's walking in darkness. That's a physical. They say, now we understand you better, why you are like you are. If things like that can happen physically in a dark room, imagine what can happen spiritually to a man. As a matter of fact, most people are in darkness, the Bible says. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Before I got saved, we used to go to the bars, one of the darkest places you can go to. You go find your little cubby hole, and it's dark in there. And then you are in there long enough, your eyes adjust to the darkness. And you think in your mind, I did anyway, I thought in my mind, man, you don't think, but you're thinking, it's dark in there, but my eyes have adjusted to it. And then you finally get done, you walk open, you open the door, and you feel like a vampire because it's so bright outside. That's what it was like before I got saved. So God said, my word, spend more time in my word and you'll be illuminated. You'll have more light. More time in God's word, more light. Less time, less light, which means less light means more darkness. The entrance of thy word. Notice what it says. You have to read it, the entrance, or hear it. The entrance of it is coming in either the ear gate or the eye gate, or both at the same time. Those are two gates that let things come in. Althea used to do a bag thing with the kids. She had a big old, y'all remember them big old brown paper bags they used to have groceries in? Now it's a little white one, plastic one. She'd take those things and draw eyes on it and a mouth and a couple of ears. And she'd cut around the ears and fold them out where they're sticking out, you know. Cut the eyes where you lift them up and I think you could open the mouth too, I don't remember. Then she took a bunch of soup cans and wrapped them in construction paper, different color construction paper, put on this one, bad music, bad words, bad things on TV, whatever it was, all these bad things, and she'd say, okay, this here's bad music. It goes in through the ear gate. So she puts it down and reaches down there and puts it in the bag. And she says, here's bad things that you can see on TV. She puts them into the eyes, and she keeps filling this thing up. And she goes, now, guess what? When this person begins to talk, what comes out? And she opens her mouth and pulls out bad words, bad things. What goes in is going to come out. I'm healed. No. What goes in is, that's all she put in there was those bad things. That's what's coming out. And they all enter through the eye gate and through the ear gate. And then she started putting in there Christian music, the Bible, different things, memorization. She put all those things in there, and guess what comes out? You put in darkness, you're going to get darkness out. The Bible says this, Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, whatever's in there the most, the mouth speaketh. That's what it talks about. You want to find out what's really inside somebody? They can put on a lot of people can put on a good front. Stand around and listen to them, you'll find out what's really on the inside. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Number 14, benefit 14, promise praying releases deliverance. Man, oh man. A lot of people are in bondage. A lot of Christians are in bondage. Psalm 119, verse 169 and 170. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Again, notice these are prayers. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Look what he says. Deliver me according to thy word. Twice he speaks about the power of God's word. You can never, people say, I just don't know if I can find time to pray, or I don't know if I can find time to read God's word. Let me say this. You will never, ever, ever find time to pray or to read God's word. You have to make time to pray and read God's word. That is a must. So let me wrap this up really quickly here. What have we come up with? There's 14 different advantages or benefits for using the word of God. And you have those now on a list to take with you and to use them to make your prayers more effective. I think there's a total of, there's 14 benefits, but there's 21 total verses. Some of them were two verses. We found out that in order for you and I to meditate on his word, we all found out tonight that we should be memorizing his word, right? Hiding his word in your heart. So what I'm going to challenge you to do, because we want you to take heed thereto, according to all that is written, right, is I want you to do something that we don't probably ever do around here. I want you to find a person. It could be your spouse. It could be another guy with a guy or a woman, one of the women with the women. And find an accountability partner, somebody that will hold you accountable. And you guys come up with an agreement on 10 verses, or come up with an agreement on these 21 verses, and take one verse a week and say, well, my accountability partner is, Paul. I'm not saying Paul's my accountability partner, but Paul and I would come together and we'd agree on this. So our first one, so we're going to work on the one on the promises of guidance, Psalm 119, 105. So all week long, we're going to go over that verse. And the best way you can do for memorizing is say that verse 10 times every morning. And then take it to work on a card in your pocket. And the way I do it for meditating, I break it down word by word by word. Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Now it's breaking it down to where I'm seeing it unfold for me. It's a light unto my path. So when you break it down, you say one word, go back and say the next two words, the next three words, and just keep going out. That's meditation. That's going over it. So let me just challenge, and I'm not going to police this, by the way, except on Nancy. I'm going to find out who her accountability partner is. I'll make it out there. No, I'm not going to do any of that. But I'm just going to challenge you We all know the right thing to do according to God's word, right? Everybody has to agree with that, amen? Come on, you have to agree with that. You know that it's the right thing. Okay, so at least you know that. So that you're not sinning against me, you're sinning against the Lord. And I would be sinning against the Lord if I'm not doing it as well. How many of you want to sin against God? Come on, raise your hands. Come on, some of you are going, Nancy, I saw her, she went like this. She really doesn't. A lot of us have reasons why we can't do certain things. But when you stand before God, they are become excuses. If God calls us to do something, He will empower us through His Spirit. Lord, I'm not good at memorizing. My memory's terrible. Will you help me? What are you thinking? No, I'm not going to help you. No, He wants you to do it in the Spirit anyway. Amen? So it's profitable. And you'd be surprised how many of your prayers might start getting answered. Because remember, how many sins does it take to be not right with God? One sin, right? And He says, your sins and iniquities yourself will have separated you from your God. It's not saying that you're lost. He's still your God. But your sins and iniquity, your self-will, have separated you from your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. And we are blaming God for not answering prayer. I've been doing that lately. But if we let it go long enough, the conviction wears off. The need to do it wears off. And we go about our way. So we put it off to the side until it goes away. No wonder. And by the way, I think that's what we're prone to do. But that's why He said in Psalm 119:59, I thought on my ways. This is under obedience. And turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. That ought to be the first one we all memorize right there. Ugh. That knee. And that thing was also lifting me up when I was trying to stand up, all right? So tonight we're not going to have a prayer time. We're going to dismiss in prayer and let you make haste and try to find someone that you say, I want to do this. You want to do it with me? And then keep each other accountable. Okay, we'll take this verse this week. This one's a little bit longer. It might take 2 weeks, but at least do it. Amen? And just stay on. And then watch what God does in your prayer life and in your daily life. So let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. And then, and by the way, I just want to give one criteria. If you think that choosing your spouse is going to let you off the hook, because they're going to be easier on you. Huh? My wife won't let me off, I'll guarantee you that. Here's what you do if you find somebody, you get linked in with somebody at the end of the thing, every Sunday, just go back and set aside, go off to the side. That was what we used to see at our home church. People would be standing off after church was over. You see two people over here sharing their verses with each other. Really cool. We used to do that all the time. And it can only be good, folks. It can only bring about good. You think your Christian life is good now? Wait till you start doing this. When I was in Bible college, you had required scripture to memorize, and you had to write it out at the end of Friday with punctuation. With punctuation. So we got it easy. We got it easy. Brother Bud, thanks for the frosted flakes. Why don't you go ahead and close us in prayer?